Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is February 15th, 2021. It is the Fightful Wrestling Podcast, post-Monday Night Raw. I am joined by Denise Salcedo. Denise, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good.
This was a show, Denise.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, Sean, I didn't even think I was going to make it because I was so tired at the top of this show. I was exhausted. Like sleepy. I usually watch Raw on my desk. This time I got a blanket. I laid down. I was getting comfortable. However, something definitely woke me up on this show. I'll tell you that much.
Oh boy. Well, we get into it. I mean, I thought that the last hour of this program was fantastic. And to say the least, there were a couple of very newsworthy things on this show. And guys, hope you all stay tuned to Fightful. We got plenty of newsworthy things there as well. Had an interview with Dominic Guarini ahead of Filthy Island, MLW's answer to UFC Fight Island today. Carlos Toro interviewed La Rosa Negra for us. She talked about Tessa Blanchard. That is some stuff. I got an interview with Danhausen coming this week. But tomorrow I'll be joined by Demon Diva making Elimination Chamber predictions. And this Sunday I will be doing an Elimination Chamber post show. But this past weekend, we had a UFC 258 watch-along. Kamaru Usman, huge win. Sunday, we had an NXT TakeOver watch-along. We had the media calls from Triple H. We had a post-show. Go check it all out. Just tons of stuff over at Fightful. I've been posting the 2020 year-end reviews for each company's YouTube from MLW, New Japan, WWE, Ring of Honor. Make sure you go check them out. But if you're here right now, watching, whether it be on Periscope, on Facebook.com/FightfulOnline, or YouTube.com/Fightful, leave us a thumbs up, subscribe, tap the bell for notifications, and donate a super chat, just like our friend Evan Wright did. He said, congrats on 1K select sub, Sean. You guys rule. We actually got it last month, but then the first of every month, they take like 10% of the subscriptions away because of expiration. So we got back there again.
I was like, what happened?
Yeah, we got back there, and hopefully whenever we integrate it into the website, it'll all go well. But lots of super chats about a specific incident in which we will definitely get to. We get to the super chats as we cover the subject, so to speak. But we kicked it off with Miz TV, and I'm not going to tie this into the main event yet because the main event was so long. But Miz comes out and starts interrupting Drew McIntyre over and over again, Denise. And Drew keeps saying, you do it again, I'm going to beat you up. And he has to beat Miz up. Miz then says, by the way, I'm pulling myself from the Elimination Chamber match. How'd you feel about this?
All right. So as I said, I was really tired when Raw started. So this segment to me was just the end. I was like, oh no, I'm not going to make it. I was like, this is the first segment and I'm already feeling like I'm not having it, right? And I just really felt, I'm so glad that, you know, Miz took himself out of the Elimination Chamber because it really just made much more sense to do it that way. But I don't think, I mean, this segment was over 10 minutes. I think I saw it was like 5:12, 5 something when this thing ended. I just didn't think we needed everything that we got to get to the big exclamation point of this segment, for the purpose of this segment, for us to find out that The Miz was taking himself out of the match. I didn't think we needed this entire thing. It was just so much talking. At one point, I just completely lost. I can't even tell you what The Miz said. I just know that that was the end point.
How did you feel about Miz taking himself out of the match? I mean, I get it. He has the title shot and all that. And a lot of people are saying, oh, well, why would they even put him in there if he's got his title shot whenever he wants it? If I'm The Miz, I would be all for like stacking title shots, like as many as you, if you want to give me 6 title shots in addition to this one I can do whenever, oh, that's fine. What he doesn't have is 2 title shots that he can use whenever he wants. This one was very defined. There was a match there. A lot of stuff like that. But how did you feel about this?
I see it both ways. So I see it as, yeah, as a competitor, you might want to have more options, more than one shot. But I think it actually makes you look like a bigger deal if you're like, all I need is that one shot. I don't need anything else. One shot, I'm going to take your bout, etc. So to me, it's actually more, it's better just to have the, just to have the money in the bank. And then also just from a fan's perspective, to me, it didn't make sense to have him in the match when he already had the money in the bank briefcase. I wasn't a fan of it when it was announced. So I was really glad that they actually went ahead with removing him and adding Kofi. Well, eventually I'm getting there, but I just like the fact of the new inclusion of how it all worked out.
Well, we can go right into that. Miz was backstage. Kofi Kingston was backstage. Kofi said, hey, why wasn't I put in this match? Why wasn't I added? I'm a former WWE champion, more recent than a lot of these people. I thought New Day's promo here with Adam Pearce was so funny, so good. It highlighted how likable they are. And The Miz came up and he's like, oh, no. I want John Morrison in there. And Adam Pearce goes, you know what? Here's your chance. You all have a match. I thought this made a lot of sense. Imagine if they would have done 4 or 5 of these qualifying matches, Denise.
Right. And they had the time to do it. But I actually thought that it wouldn't have made more sense to have John Morrison in that match, though, to try to earn his spot. Or do you like the way that they did it with The Miz sort of trying to get it for his friend since he was the one that really wanted it for him?
I don't know what John Morrison's status is. Like, for all we know, especially in this day and age, guy might be sidelined, might be quarantined. You never know what may have prevented that from happening. But Miz and Kofi Kingston did have a qualifying match, and I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was really, really good. Miz worked over Kofi Kingston's knee heavily. They've worked on TV in singles, tag, or multi-man matches over 70 times, so they are very familiar with each other. Altogether, they've worked each other over 100 times, including live events. Kofi gets the win. I thought it made a whole lot of sense. You add something in the middle of the show that matters, and it sets up the gauntlet match for later. I like this an awful lot. I mean, it was a forbidden or a foregone conclusion who was going to win this. We knew Kofi was going to win.
Right, exactly. And like you mentioned, you don't know what's going on with Morrison or whatever, but I either way, like, had Kofi Kingston not won, but although we all assumed that he would once they actually made this match, I would have also liked to see Morrison in this match. But with Kofi Kingston in this match, now I think about all the fun things that he can do and that he has done when he's been in the situation before. So I'm really glad that he went ahead and got incorporated into this. I think last week, whenever they announced all of this, everybody was like, oh, well, what about Kofi Kingston? What about Kofi Kingston? He should be the one that's in there. So now it kind of feels like they were sort of listening and, hey, let's throw Kofi Kingston in there. And then the match itself, I thought it was probably one of the best mismatches that we've seen in a while.
Guys, get your super chats in, like Sexy Peasant that says, Denise, I can forgive you for your hatred of Christmas, but I can't forgive you calling WandaVision boring. What the F is with The Fiend? Is he still The Fiend? We'll see. I mean, I don't know what's up with The Fiend. Going deep into creative plans is not really my forte as it relates to reporting news. I haven't watched WandaVision, Denise. I'm not big into Marvel, DC universes and all that stuff. It's not for me.
So I gave it a try. I watched the first episode and I really enjoyed it, but I kind of gave up in the second episode. I got bored. So I didn't even get through the second episode. So I'm sorry. I know a lot of people tell me to stick with it, that it gets really good around, I think they said 4, 5, 6, but I might give it a try again. I didn't say it was completely boring. It just didn't get my attention to get me to click to the next episode.
Thank you to Michael for the super chat, by the way. Planet Dan says, if I were the charities that work with WWE, I'd never work with them. Now, after punishing talent for promoting charities, it's evil and heartless. This comes from a Wrestling Inc. report that WWE has punished or warned some talents about third-party companies, businesses, or charities. I'm working to independently verify that. I can verify some aspects of it. I've not been able to verify the charitable aspect of it. If that is true, that is heartless. That is ridiculous. Like, let whoever promote whatever charity they so choose. Yeah, I do not agree with that whatsoever. We have Rafael Garcia. He says, Ali needs to attack Kofi Kingston and get him pulled out of the chamber just to take his slot last minute on Sunday. So that's the thing. They don't have retribution on this show. Sometimes when they do that, Denise, that's so they can make you kind of forget about them a little bit before something happens. It would make an awful lot of sense to me if Ali takes out Kofi Kingston, they injure his knee, and then Ali takes his spot on Sunday.
I'll tell you what, if they do that, that is probably going to be the best thing for retribution that they have ever done, because they're supposed to be like this, you know, just doing whatever the hell they want, right? Is that still who retribution is? At least that's how retribution sort of got started, how they were introduced to everybody. So if they were to do something like that, it would very much fall in line with their character, their persona, who they are. So it would give something to retribution, something that they are very much lacking. And I don't think Ali would necessarily be a bad person to have in this match.
Also, I mean storyline continuity, it's great because of what happened a couple years ago where Ali got pulled from that gauntlet match. Kofi ended up winning. However, I do think it's important that along the way Kofi Kingston says, listen man, why are you sitting here acting like you had something taken from you? He got his title shot at Fastlane before Kofi got his title shot, and that's a good heel approach. It's that Ali is jealous. He wasn't really wronged. He's just jealous. That's what would define him more as a heel. Because a lot of the stuff that he complains about, there's a good reason to complain about a lot of this stuff, Denise. But that there's not. And I know a lot of people, they kind of forget that Ali even had that match at Fastlane.
Dude, I almost forgot. Like, I kind of remembered right now when you told me. I was like, oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah, and it made sense that they did that, too. But he did get his opportunity. He just didn't win that opportunity. And because, he was inserted in the match with Daniel Bryan and Kevin Owens and had a really good, like, 19-minute match. But there's some good story there. It's just, man, they nerf everybody, and it's just like, okay.
Oh, and it would be something so good to circle back with, especially because these two guys don't necessarily, they don't have something major going on is what I'm saying. You could add some story, some depth to them right now.
And I'm all for that the story in the middle of the card, if you've got something to play off of it, if you're going to have these people wrestle one another in Riddle and Lashley's case, or Riddle and the Hurt Business's case, as we'll get to, like 12 times since November. Give us more of a reason. Nerd Guru says, WandaVision is amazing, Denise. Come on.
Oh, man. I just said I gave up. I'll come back. I'll give it one more try. I promise.
I have not tried it yet, and I don't know if I will.
You know what? People should be mad at you because I at least gave it a try. You're not even willing to give it a try. You see what I mean? I always got to take the heat on this podcast.
I'm willing to. I got so burned out of superhero shows and movies. Like, to me, it's like, okay, I get it. They overcome something. They win at the end. I know, with the exception of the time Thanos snapped his fingers. Like, okay, cool. But I loved the first season of The Punisher, loved the first season or two of Daredevil. And then couldn't get into it anymore. Love Deadpool. I love Deadpool's movies. Watched The Boys, and that entire show came, oh, I'm blackmailing you. Now you're blackmailing me. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Nerd Guru says, not Raw related, but we say that the Undisputed Era imploding is the best breakup of a faction since the Shield. A real crowd would have erupted. It's the only one that comes to mind. So yeah, I would say so. I really liked it, and we still don't know what's going to happen. And that's what I think you should do, Denise. It's a cliffhanger. What's Roderick Strong going to do? Where's Bobby Fish at? How's he going to handle this? I like it an awful lot.
Exactly. I think it was a really nice way to end the pay-per-view, especially because I honestly thought that after the match that was it. I wasn't expecting anything else to happen afterwards. So the fact that they ended a takeover like that, I thought it was really exciting.
Anakin says, Sean, knowing you, WandaVision won't be your thing. Trust me, Denise, if you like the MCU movies, get to the end of episode 3 and decide. I think that's a future podcast for us, Denise, is
what?
Just shows that most people like that we don't like.
Oh my God, I'm going to not like anything. Have you met me?
Yeah, I have. Not only have I met you, Denise, I proved on your own channel that I know you as well as you know yourself. I got almost every single question right.
You got really easy questions, though. Mine were like way harder.
I got almost every single question right. Reminder, guys, get those super chats in. There's plenty to talk about tonight. Oh, boy. Riddle and Lucha House Party defeated Hurt Business. Riddle and Lucha House Party talk about their favorite presidents before this match. I love seeing Lucha House Party used this much. Like, they are used very, very often all over the place. And this was a good match. It was everywhere. Just.
Oh, I feel totally opposite, Sean.
Really? You don't like it?
I thought this match was boring.
Really? I thought it had a really exciting lead up to the finish, spots all over the place.
I actually think that there wasn't enough spots. I think in comparison to some of the other matches that we've seen with Lucha House Party in it, I think they've done far more stuff. This one to me was very, very, it was not good for me.
You want a full Dalmatian. You want spots all over the place.
Yes, I do. I really, really do. Just throw me all the spots. But this to me wasn't good. It wasn't memorable. I've seen way better.
I've seen way better too. But MVP takes the pin, but you know the drill. Lashley comes out and attacks the baby faces and lays Riddle out. We've seen it a million times. Somebody gets a win, then they get beaten up immediately.
Yeah, and it's kind of dumb now, too. It's making Matt Riddle look dumb because at this point, I almost feel like he should be expecting it. He should be doing something, get in Lashley's face. I don't know, do something, because at this point, it's not a surprise anymore to have him come out. It's really isn't. So they need to give Matt Riddle an actual give us a reason, not him just getting the pin tonight. Okay, good, that's all fine and dandy, but there needs to be more. I've already said this before, the whole Bobby Lashley thing for me hasn't been working for like the last several weeks. It's been getting very dull.
Yeah, I'm very excited for them to move on from this. They do this with everybody that feuds with the Hurt Business. Apollo Crews, then Ricochet, now Riddle. They face them 100 times. And I'm so over it, so beyond it. And sure, Riddle got his win. We didn't see Keith Lee tonight.
Okay. And I also thought this match took forever to pick up. I thought it took forever to pick up, and I didn't feel like there was ever an actual, like, big moment where I thought, okay, like usually when you get like a good like last 5 minutes of a match and you're like, all right, I'm really into it, like even though the first half sucked. Nah, for me the first half was not good, and the second half didn't make up for it either. So I think we watched two totally different matches.
Evan Wright says, Sean, will you review AEW Eliminator on Select? Probably not. I'll give my thoughts on the matches as they happen. I think it was a star. I'm glad to see Yuka Sakazaki back. Emi Sakura, AEW, but I'm glad that she's there and she was heavily figured into the early parts of Dynamite, so glad to see her back in action for AEW. Kevin Steet says Dark Order is actively recruiting Maki Ito on Twitter, and congrats to Denise on joining the Pink Ladies.
Oh, for a second, I thought it said congrats to Denise on joining the Dark Order, and I was like, wait, how'd you know I applied?
Oh, gosh. Are you familiar with the Pink Ladies, Denise?
Yes, I'm not. I wasn't born like 2 minutes ago, Sean.
Not everybody's watched Grease. I can tell you that
hasn't watched Grease?
Well, let me tell you, I don't think it's going to get as much play in the future as it did. Like, 10, 11 years ago.
Oh, it's a terrible premise, by the way. A terrible plot. Yeah. It's terrible. But the songs are great. I got the
lead for a play of Grease locally, like 11 years ago. And when I was reading through it, and they had to adapt it, obviously, for stage. And I was like, this is really fucked up.
Right?
Stuff is really... Right? I was like, it got canceled, and I was super relieved that it got canceled. I was like, shit.
Oh, wait, what role were you supposed to play, though?
The lead role.
You were going to be John Travolta?
Yes, yes.
Shut up.
Yes, and I was not excited. Gosh, it was like 13 or 14 please, years ago, not 10 or 11.
Please recreate that. We need to see. I need to see this.
No, it ain't going to happen. But I was reading, and I was like, oh, my God. This... I had forgotten how freaking terrible it was.
You don't. Okay. So when I first watched Grease, it was a different experience because I wasn't, you know, I saw it so different. It was like, oh, it's fun and it's music and it's dancing. And I watched it recently, you know, now as an older person, and I'm looking at this and I'm like, wait, so she had to change who she was so that he could end up happy in the end with her? WTF is this? It's just the whole message of this is it's wrong. I don't like Grease, but I like the song. So I'll watch it for that, but I'll ignore the actual, theme of it all.
Well, backstage, Bad Bunny's talking with Mandy Rose. Damian Priest is shilling SNL. You see Akira Tozawa pin our truth for the 24/7 title, but he runs right into Damian Priest, who beats that ass. And then Bad Bunny wins. This, Denise, is the reason why when everybody says, get rid of that 24/7 title. Get rid of it. Just who cares? It sucks. This is the reason they don't, Denise. And I think Bad Bunny is one of the best choices to be 24/7 champion ever. Not only that, Denise, he's going to SNL in a few days. Michael Che and Colin Jost are there. They've done a bunch of WWE stuff in the past. There's a great relationship with NBC because of the Peacock and Universal and all that. I love it. I love Bad Bunny being 24/7 champion.
Yeah, and I really do obviously hope that they do something with it on SNL. I mean, we don't know for sure, but I think we can all hope. And I think based on the fact that they were promoting it today, they promoted it, you know, they mentioned it, and then they also did a whole little ad for it on the actual show. So one can only put two and two together and know that they are obviously going to do something with this. And I thought this was all perfectly fine. It didn't look goofy or anything when he won it. It was actually like, all right, he's going to win it. You knew it was going to happen. And then it did. And it wasn't embarrassing or weird like some of the past ones that we've seen where we're like, oh God, this is terrible, right? Yeah. But no, this one was actually pretty fun. And I thought that, you know, again, Damian Priest looks cool. Bad Bunny looks cool. Mandy looks cool. Sporting the merch. I mean, overall, it was very simple, but the execution of everything was simple, but it did a lot for what you saw there. It did a lot for everybody there.
And I was glad that it did not go to another roll-up, like another roll-up. I didn't need to see Bad Bunny pinning Akira Tozawa's shoulders with a roll-up. Damian Priest beating his ass was good enough for me. That worked for me. Bad Bunny is a great decision for this. And the man is on Raw again. Let me point out this dumbass comment first off. Phenom951 says,
SRS doesn't like Marvel, but digs Joe Dirt. Think on that, yo.
There are not 232 Joe Dirt movies that have the same ending. And he says,
you watch him out pro wrestling, and you're going to complain about the same endings.
Homeboy, you are here watching my fucking show about pro wrestling. Enjoy your ban.
Sean, are you going to hate me if I agree with his first comment?
Okay.
Joe Dirt was terrible. Hold on.
Joe Dirt was not terrible. It's like, okay.
I watched it. I did the review.
Okay. It's so stupid that I enjoy it. But, like, here's the thing. I know what's going to happen when I watch almost any Marvel movie. Some shit's going to go down. The bad guy is going to, he's going to rise to the top, and then he's going to get overcome and beaten. Like that's what's going to happen every single time. And if people like that, more power to them.
But I think we knew what was going to happen with Joe Dirt too. He was looking for his parents. He was
Joe Dirt was going to eat French fries off of a frozen hunk of shit in a wagon?
That's in-depth details. There's obviously details that are different in the Marvel movies and in every movie, but we all knew that the ending was going to be Joe Dirt finding A, somebody that loved him, B, finding out the truth about his parents. We all knew that. We all knew he was going to become famous and all of that.
You let me know the next time Marvel has the balls to have somebody knock the top off of a crap tank and have poop fly everywhere. Joe Dirt is magnificent. It's better than the Avengers. Hannah M says, you literally get paid to watch wrestling. Trevor L says, come for the reviews. Stay for the burns and bands.
I cannot believe. You know what, Sean? That's it. Kentucky has overtaken you and your mind. You need to move out because now you're Now you're liking Joe Dirt more than Marvel.
Yes, there are several Marvel movies that
you lose your mind, Sean.
There are several Marvel movies that I like less than Joe Dirt. Okay, now I'm not saying like
50 more Joe Dirt movies. Is that what you're telling us?
Joe Dirt 2 sucked. It was terrible. I'd rather watch any Avengers movie or Guardians of the Galaxy over Joe Dirt 2. But Joe Dirt 1, give me that over some of these. Like, watch 200 of them? No. Deadpool 2, Guardians of the Galaxy? Sure. Couple of the X-Men movies? They're good. Go over to DC. Batman Begins, Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises. Sure. Okay. We're getting into Superman Returns and all that shit. No. Give me Joe Dirt over Superman. I would rather watch something so bad that it's good than watch something so boring that it's depressing.
You know what, Sean? If the people on Reddit pull this up and talk smack on you, I can't. I wasn't part of the Reddit people.
Matter. They matter. Come on.
I'm innocent.
Man. So, yeah. Bad Bunny is the 24/7 champion.
How did this lead into all of this? Oh my gosh, we're talking about Bad Bunny.
Rob Wilkin says Shooter McGavin was in Grease too, and he wanted to have a heck of a golf career. I enjoyed Raw tonight. I did not feel like a waste of time. That sounds like a good movie review for us. Grease 2.
I haven't seen Grease 2.
I haven't either. AM, thank you for the super chat. and Brandon Charles Powell says, super chat for those SRS glasses. Very nice. I was supposed to have a LASIK consultation tomorrow, but I can't because it's snowing so hard. I got to put it off till March. Anakin says, title change on SNL works for me. I don't know if it'll change hands, but I think they should do a little something there, like a little SNL integration, Denise.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm sure they are. And I don't know what, but they're very creative people over there. So I'm sure they'll come up with something fun.
Terry Allen Jr. said, did you download Retribution's theme from Amazon?
No, I don't. I only listen to music on Spotify.
Okay. Norm Summers says, Raw is becoming tolerable. Have yourself a beef jerky pizza with ranch party. Keep up the great work. I'm just saying, Denise.
Hey, and I got that one right. Come on, that was a long shot, and I got it right.
I keep beef jerky.
You know, you want to know something, Sean?
What?
I hate beef jerky.
It's not for everybody.
No, I hate all of it.
You could call it the Joe Dirt of snack foods for sure.
I swear, you're Joe Dirt's number one fan. You need to start a fan club.
I do enjoy Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt appreciation.
People are saying, did my super chat on Lacey get missed? Let me explain to you guys again. We get to these super chats when we cover the actual segment. But send it in here. If I missed it, I'll pick it up. AM said, Bad Bunny said a year ago in a song, I've been talking with Triple H. I guess it's been a year in the making.
Did he really have that in a song? I didn't know that.
I'm not too hip to it, but I mean, I believe it based on what I've seen out of the guy. Ryan P. Jam said, Jim Carrey as Biden should win the 24/7 title on SNL. Oh, man. Did you see the Zillow skit recently?
No,
it was good stuff.
I did it.
It was good stuff. I know you're looking for places, so it's worth you going out of your way to see. Nerd Guru says, I disagree with Sean so much, but you're crossing over my two favorite things, Marvel movies and wrestling. So much appreciated. I don't know where some idiot got Sean likes Joe Dirt more than every Marvel movie ever. There's a fucking 100 Marvel movies. Like, it's such a weird, stupid comparison.
Sean, Joe Dirt alone, or do you prefer like the Disney movies, like the Princess, Prince, all that animated Finding Nemo, all of that type of stuff?
Finding Nemo is pretty good. Like, if we're talking Toy Story, no.
Like, I think the whole collection of it all, the Disney animated stuff.
Oh, I mean, I don't watch any modern day stuff, but the old stuff, no, I would not take Joe Dirt over like all the right, older.
Cool. All right, so we won somewhere. You're not completely losing sure. it.
Like, we're talking Great Mouse Detective. No, I'm not picking Joe Dirt over the Great Mouse Detective. That ain't happening. Oh, boy. Well, Denise.
Oh, is it time?
It's time.
Let's do this.
It's the Lacey cut, so it felt like a long-ass promo with Peyton by her side. I couldn't care less about this match, and that's saying something because I thought the ingredients were good. We're not going to talk a damn bit about this match.
I don't even remember the match. I should tell you everything.
Not a one bit. Lacey gets tagged in, and she drops down. And at this point, I get a message as I'm watching this, and I'm a few minutes behind. Rafael Garcia, friend of the site, he's often in our chat. He says, stop what you're doing and record yourself watching this. And I said, okay. And it's up on youtube.com/FightfulScraps right now. Actually, you know, I'm going to see if I can play it.
Play it. Yeah, play it. I want to see
I'm going to see if I can actually show my reaction. It'll take some time to upload, but Lacey Evans says that she is pregnant.
She did.
So my first thought is, well, my first thought was laughing maniacally.
That was Raphael's, your first thought?
Yes, Raphael said it was a Ted DiBiase laugh, which you guys will see whenever it uploads, but my second thought was, cool, no title match Sunday.
I didn't have any of those thoughts whatsoever. My reaction was more like, are you effing kidding me? We're doing this? This is what we're doing. This is not, nobody wants to, because you knew that they were implying, obviously, that Ric Flair is the dad, and you even had Ric Flair celebrating, and you had Charlotte doing the WTF face. So my reaction was, I cannot believe they're doing, like, I was already so not for this storyline, and I've talked about this before, so to add the whole pregnancy layer to it, it's so like those TV, what are you doing, those TV shows where it's all the drama and so-and-so's having baby's daughter, and I don't know who's having whose kid, whatever. So this to me was not appealing whatsoever. Like, this is not my type of storyline, okay?
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay.
Especially well, it's not mine either. I often complain that, like, every drama show that I like has to integrate some dumbass pregnancy storyline. Like, that's something that they got to do all the time. Let's get to some super chats because there are a lot about this. It's Trent Gaspard says, oldest ride, longest line. Space Mountain is still open for business. Did it ever really close?
I don't
know. Trevor L. says, if you want your partner saying woo, hashtag code Fightful. Not tonight, my friends. But then we get to some honest to God super chats about this. Sam Piboon says, do you think Rhea Ripley will be replaced and Lacey Evans or replace Lacey Evans for the Raw Women's title on Sunday? I don't think she will. That would be very cool if they did that. But I don't
throw away though.
Yeah. I mean, it. Rhea is the type of person they would give the title to, and then she'd start smiling and joking like Drew is now. Instead of making her ass kicker, like what got Drew over, they got him out there flexing with Hulk Hogan and well, all that stuff. Don't like it. But I want to see Rhea doing something important. And Ryan Martin says, any update on what's going on with Rhea? I feel like her momentum coming out of the Rumble has slowed down. Also, thoughts on Taya and Eli Drake signing. Well, you're supposed to do one super chat or one question per super chat, but what's going on with Rhea? I just think they didn't have plans for her. They had it on hold because of all this Lacey stuff.
Yeah, that's why I don't necessarily just want to see her thrown into this match, because I feel like, A, she needs to have like this big, you know, this big debut. And secondly, whenever she does get a title shot, I want it to have an actual real build to it and not just like, oh, hey, Lacey's out. Let's have you jump in there. Like, she ain't a replacement, okay? Like, she's not a plan B type of gal.
Well, I will say this. A big thing that Bruce Pritchard has always hammered home is if you're going to have a replacement, if you're going to have a fill-in, or you got to have somebody else, you over-deliver. You, instead of doing somebody and that people being like, oh, well, there you go above what the original person would be. So if that's the line of thinking, maybe. My thoughts on Taya and Eli Drake signing, I think Eli Drake's got all the charisma in the world. And Taya is a ready-made TV star right now. Put her on Raw. She's ready.
I can't wait to see Taya versus, like, everybody.
Oblivious Kyrie says, never forget Lacey went heel because of karaoke. I don't remember that.
When they did the karaoke segment, all the four women, they were all singing, I think it was Tamina, Lacey, and then two other, I forgot exactly, but it was a disaster. That's all I remember.
Oh, my gosh. There, Drew says, congrats to Lacey. Won't miss her on TV, though. I guess either Charlotte is going to face Asuka and win the title or just have Rhea win it. Yeah, well, I got to say, thank you, Lacey Evans' husband. Thank you.
Well, are they taking her off TV?
Congratulations. Well, she ain't wrestling.
We know that, but if they're implying that it's Ric Flair's kid, then shouldn't she stay on to continue that? I mean, she doesn't have to get physical. It could just be like a backstage segment sort of thing. I mean, I want to see it, right? But I'm just saying, like, I'm thinking, trying to think of like, hey, we don't necessarily have to get the woman out just because she's, you know, pregnant.
I don't. Yeah, exactly. I don't care if she stays on TV. More power to her. Didn't need to see her in a world title program. Didn't need to see her in a Charlotte program. Didn't need to see her wrestling in this spot. Didn't need to see it. On-screen character? Sure. I've seen a lot worse than Lacey Evans as an on-screen character. And legitimately, congratulations to the woman. Cares about her kid, takes her everywhere. Her kid was always at the NXT live events that I would go to because they would integrate it into the match. The heel would go get heat on her by going at her. Oh, man.
Storyline-wise, there needs to be follow-up to this because you just don't throw a bomb like that and say, like, and then just forget about it next week. Like, oh, she gone. She's resting. They need a follow-up on this.
And everybody's saying, oh, well, they took Becky off TV.
But that was a whole different scenario.
Maria Kanellis was on TV. She was pregnant, and she was in a 24/7 title situation, even. Anakin JMP said,
I don't think you can compare the situations.
Oh, here's my reaction. Oh, I just
think you can't compare the situations on that. Oh, let's see it.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at Fightful.com here. Now, I was told by my friend Rafael Garcia to screen cap my reaction when Lacey Evans gets the microphone after being tagged by Peyton Royce. In all caps, he said, "Do it. Trust me. Do it." I read this message just as Lacey is being tagged. She has just stepped away. I'm about to see whatever this is. Ref starting to count.
Calm down, get back. Wait. You're not putting your hands on me. Charlotte, I'm pregnant.
Shit. Oh. No title match for her. Great.
Legitimately, first concern was this is the dumbest, but at least there's no title match.
I like how your eyes gleamed when you realized there was going to be no, like there was a sparkle in your eye, Sean. I saw it. It was a sparkle there. I was like, oh, no title shot. Oh, this is great. But I just don't know how you went immediately into laughing about that. Like, that's insane.
Because I have learned to laugh instead of be upset about this shit. Like, I get paid to do this, and I get to talk with right now like 1,000 people. We get to talk to about this. My God, there are legitimately four times as many people watching this than live in my neighborhood, in my town.
Oh, I saw your tweet, and it trips me out, Sean. It really trips me out.
What, that I have 60,000 Twitter followers, or that there's 200 people in my town?
How many people in your town?
I think like 260, 270.
That trips me out. I can't even imagine it in my head. Like,
it's
can't
terrible.
It.
It sucks. Ryan B. Jam says, if they imply this is Rick's kid, it reaches Claire Lynch, TNA, Mike and Maria, cuckold levels of horrible. Well, I think the thing is they're going to reveal it's not his and all that good stuff.
You think they'll I hope they do. That's the only way to save this. Reveal it's not his. Please.
Raphael says, I immediately thought Sean was going to lose his shit when he sees this. I wanted to see it too. I've started to watch Raw like on a delay, like because there's so many commercials and all that.
Yeah.
Anakin says, Denise, they can drip this storyline. Remember how Maria told Mike it wasn't his baby? They never followed up.
That's true. But that was terrible. I mean, that got to new levels of bad where like his masculinity was like taken away, shattered. They made her look so bad. And I mean, I don't know. But I mean, think of everything that they did with Lana and Lashley. Like, just think of all of those different things that we've gotten. So I feel like it could get really bad, but I hope that it doesn't. Like, just like nip it, say it's not his. Then afterwards, you know, stay on TV, go off TV, whatever they please to do. But yeah, it's just, I don't want this to forever be like, oh, this is going to be Ric Flair's baby in storyline.
Yeah, of course. Nerd Guru says Becky was in prime pandemic era. She couldn't be on TV. Yeah, I mean, and also, I mean, congratulations. This is a baby boom era in wrestling, like
everywhere, Sean.
All over the place. But I mean, specifically wrestling, like Sarah Logan and Becky Lynch and Maria Kanellis, even right around the time the pandemic started, and Brandi Rhodes and now Lacey, just it's
Renee,
fantastic.
The Bellas.
Yeah. Felipe says, it's true. Bad Bunny says in one of his songs, you want to say that one, Denise.
I was going to let you have at it.
Go ahead.
Estoy hablando con Triple H.
Yeah, that was not what I was going to say. Plus, he already made a clip with Stone Cold. The guy loves wrestling. You can tell he loves wrestling, Denise. And that's what I like to see.
Yeah, because then he's gonna do things like fun and respectful. Because if you're a fan of it, you're gonna treat it differently. Like, it's gonna feel like a big deal for you. You're not just gonna go in there like all cocky, like I'm a big star. No, I'm sure part of him is like fanboying, like, oh my god, there's probably some of the people that he's meeting that he's probably like, ooh, this is kind of cool.
Volub says, congrats to Lacey for not only the pregnancy, but getting us out of that god-awful storyline. That's a super chat. It's a win-win. It is. I'm so stoked that she's having a kid. Happy for her and her family. And pretty excited that program's not happening. Anakin says, Sean, your reaction video is gold. Do you think the major storyline that changed was Lacey? Yes. Raj Giri of Wrestling Inc. had reported that a major storyline was going to change. That's the one that he meant. It wasn't Elimination Chamber. He followed up on that. And Anakin says, Denise, good luck on Wednesday. Melina interview to follow?
I already have a Melina interview. It's up on my channel, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. It's right there. You can check it out. We chatted for like an hour, so you could definitely check that out.
We got one too. It's from last year. Check it out. Also, I have sent an item to Adam. Hopefully he'll use it this week. We'll see how well.
Really wrong. You sent an item to Adam and hopefully he'll use it this week.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know, Sean.
You kink shaming?
No.
Is that what you're here to do? You're here to shame people?
No, you can't
shame people. I didn't think anymore. So. Zach says, Sean, you're my hero for referencing The Great Mouse Detective. It's my wife's favorite animated movie. I just got her the Funkos about them or from that. Some Stupid Punk says, not to distract, but the Japanese bracket of AEW's tournament was on. Emmy was stiff like Blue Chew, and Khan had better sign Maki Ito. Hashtag simp for Ito. Maki Ito is going to be a gigantic star in the U.S., hopefully with AEW. I think that'd be the best fit. Darkman says, Denise, wondering your thoughts on Taylor's new version of Love Story. And Sean, thoughts on Bow Wow supposedly training with Rikishi to wrestle. I've reached out to Bow Wow, and I'll tell you what, Denise, I loved Taylor's new version of Love Story. I thought it was great.
Beautiful. And everything else that she re-records will be beautiful, too.
And Ryan Martin says the same thing. He says, what your thoughts on Bow Wow stuff and him wanting to be a WWE superstar? Apparently, he's going to go train him with Rikishi. If he puts the work in, sure. I got no problem with it.
I could care less.
I'll
just be real. I could care less. I'm not interested.
He ain't the level of Bad Bunny right now. I mean, when I was growing up, he was a big star, but not as much anymore. Not as much anymore.
Exactly. That's why I have no interest.
Drew Nicholas asked if I sent Adam my package. No, I did not send him my package, but sent him something way better. Ryan B. Jam said, like Jesse the Buckeye said, everyone facing Asuka is getting pregnant.
Oh my God, that's so true.
We know who Ronda needs to face when she returns.
Oh
my God. Don't go there. I hope that they can have kids if they so choose. We also had a super chat of from Ryan B. James saying, with all this talk of Disney and Marvel now, I want a Pixar Joe Dirt movie. I think they could probably actually pull off a Pixar Joe Dirt movie. I think they could probably do that. I mean, obviously, it would not be, you wouldn't have crap tanks and people eating off of turds, but I think they could probably, he seems like they could make him a Pixar character.
Zero interest.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Zero.
Anakin also says, haven't seen Joe Dirt, but I bet it's better than Justice League, Catwoman, and X-Men Origins Wolverine. It is. So Ryan says, any update on what's going on with Rhea? I feel like her momentum has slowed down. Oh, sorry, I read that one. But no update. Waiting on her assigned situation, so to speak. That's it. Later on, we had Lana facing Shayna Baszler. And I thought this was a solid match. It did not need the distraction. I thought it was good, short. It didn't expose any of Lana's shortcomings or weaknesses. She hit a body press, got choked out. I did not need the distraction, Denise.
Yeah, this was fine. I mean, personally for me, I really didn't have much interest in this. I haven't had much interest in the storyline at all. So for me, it was a little bit hard to get interested in what I was seeing for this, but for the most part it was fine.
Were you surprised that Lana got put to sleep?
Well, see, here's the thing about everything that they do with Lana. It's almost for me like I'm never surprised about anything
that Lana got put to sleep, because I've been resting easy thanks to helixsleep.com/Fightful, Denise. I love it. As soon as my head hits the pillow, I'm full on Lana. Like I just faced Shayna Baszler. You know, some people can't sleep because of today's politics or pandemic or even your love life. Maybe you had a rough Valentine's Day, and sleeping on a terrible mattress just makes that worse. And that's what I was doing before I upgraded to helixsleep.com/Fightful. And sometimes, I mean, all you need is Monday Night Raw. But now that I've upgraded and got a Helix Sleep mattress, I'm resting all night long. I'm getting a greater quality of sleep. They have a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete, matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. It is so awesome. I did not want to go to a mattress store in the middle of a pandemic and lay on some mattress that everybody else has been trying out. And Helix knows that everyone's unique, so they have several different mattress models. And that was my big concern. I was like, how am I going to know that I get the right mattress? Well, they have a quiz. And I was matched with the Dusk Luxe mattress because I wanted something that felt soft but was supportive enough for me. I sleep on my back, and it has really increased my quality of sleep. I used to sleep on just a slab of memory foam, and this is so much better. It's the best overall pick for mattresses in 2020 by GQ and Wired magazine. And hey, you know what? It's Fightful's best pick too. It comes straight to your door, shipped for free. You don't need to go to the mattress store again. If you don't like it after 100 nights, they'll pick it up for you and you get your money back. Risk-free. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They'll match you to a custom mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. And with that type of guarantee, that type of risk-free option, why not, my friends? You can get up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Fightful. Hit them up on Twitter at Helix Sleep. Let them know you heard about them from us. I legitimately bought a Helix Sleep mattress, and I loved it so much. I asked them if we could do business together, and I'm so glad we got them all through 2021. So I'm putting you all to sleep, Nate Robinson level. Denise, you won't understand that.
No.
Some stupid punk says, never forget in Greece, Rizzo asks if Sandy struggled or cried during the song. Detectives need to be talking to him. That was one of the things. Like,
wait, which part was this again?
Huh?
What part was this?
Oh, when she was asking for details. So that was the thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Most of the just normal dialogue had been adjusted in the stage play that I read, but the songs were all the same. And I was reading through them and I was like, oh no. And this was in the mid-2000s, Denise. Things were very freewheeling back then. People said a lot of crazy stuff.
Did you watch the Free Britney Spears documentary on FX?
I've not yet, but I'm gonna.
Watch it, and I think it will kind of show you a little bit about similar to what you're talking about here.
I'm going to check it out. I've been meaning to. Guys, we're on the home stretch. Get your super chats in. Leave your thumbs up. I can't tell you how much that really helps us. The gauntlet match, this was to determine the number 6 entrant. We saw promos from everybody along the way. Not much happened except for Randy Orton's, where Alexa Bliss pops up with these contact lenses. And Oblivious Kyrie says, I'm digging her Alchemist Circle anime vibes. I thought she looked awesome with the contact lenses.
Oh, this scared me to death. I'm not into like this type of like witchcrafty type of stuff. It scares the hell out of me. I don't even like to go near that type of stuff. So it legit spooked me out when they like zoomed out of her and she had that like, I don't know. What do you call that symbol anyways? That symbol that she had.
I don't know. The person called it an alchemist circle.
Okay, so that's what it is. Well, whatever that is, it creeped me out, man. Like, totally. And with like, the candles and everything.
Ooh. That sounds like something exactly like what a closeted witch would say.
What?
Yeah.
Gee, thanks, Sean.
Guys, let me know in the chat if you, a pentagram. Yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't look. Pentagram. I believe
yeah,
pentagram,
everybody knows
pentagram.
Me, and you're trying to call me a closeted witch. I don't even know what a pentagram is.
You know what? If I would have saw it, I would have known what a pentagram. I knew it would have known it was a pentagram. No big deal. It happens. Let me know in the chats, guys, especially super chats. Is Denise a witch? I think she is. Is Denise a witch? Is she a witch?
What would qualify me to be a witch? What
you
is it
being
about
a witch?
Me?
Braun Strowman pops up. He's like, why wasn't I put in this match? And Adam Pearce is like, I don't know. Technically, you're not a WWE champion. And Braun's like, well, you tell Shane he's got to answer for this. So do you think we're getting Shane and Braun at WrestleMania? Because I do.
Well, if they do it, I wouldn't necessarily be like against it because we already know that he would do like awesome stuff during the match. So I necessarily wouldn't hate it. And everybody thinks I'm a witch. Well, for all the people that think I'm a witch, sleep with one eye open.
Well, you know what? If you do sleep with one eye open, you'll get a full night's sleep either way with helixsleep.com/fightful. Anakin says she's Harry Potter witch, unknown what house though. Oh, come on. Taylor Swift, Snake, she's a Slytherin. I don't even watch Harry Potter, and I know that Denise would be a Slytherin. Let's get real. Come on.
Haven't seen Harry Potter in a very long time, so I don't even remember.
Well, Omos catches Xavier Woods at the beginning of this match because it's Kofi and AJ. Did you see that ridiculous camera angle they used?
Which one? Because I noticed some other ones that were a little bit like, like the whole thing all over the place.
From the floor. Jimmy,
watch it.
Jimmy has said, you and Denise will cover the Grease song. We just need to come up with the milestone and compensation. Let me tell you, to get me and Denise to sing that song, it would cost a lot of money. How much is my LASIK surgery? Probably about that much.
Hey, and I'm looking for an apartment. So yeah, I'll throw that in there.
Anything is possible.
By the way, I thought Jimmy Van was going to comment on the witch thing. I was like, what?
Also, Denise is a witch. He said that. I didn't make that up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I totally believe you.
Kofi and AJ had a good match. It made sense to me that Kofi got eliminated first because, one, he wasn't even prepared to do anything tonight besides get an opportunity. And 30 minutes before this, Denise, he was having his leg worked over big time. Great opening spot. I thought that made all the sense in the world.
I did too. And I'll say that now. I thought that the way they played out this entire gauntlet made a lot of sense. And I was actually very happy with the entire outcome. But I love the fact that they kicked it off with AJ and Kofi because those are two explosive guys, especially because Kofi just got essentially, you know, added into this. So it made a lot of sense to put him up against AJ in this one.
Up next was Drew, and I thought the first few minutes that Drew was just going to crush AJ and pin him. Like through the first 5 minutes, it looked like he was going to squash AJ, but it didn't happen. I thought that put over AJ an awful lot because he wasn't cheating here. He was just really, really competitive with a fresh WWE champion. And again, this was a situation. It made all the sense in the world for AJ to lose right here. I thought this was a very good booked match.
Well, this was the thing that I actually liked about it was the fact that, you know how you said you were expecting more of like a squash and get AJ out of there? I liked the fact that they actually gave it a nice ample amount of time. I didn't keep track of how much time, but I definitely, it was the longest out of like all the matches in the gauntlet, I feel, where they gave them plenty of time and it felt important. I thought that they really worked it in a way that it didn't feel like, oh, this is just like a quick throwaway gauntlet match. No, they actually gave it enough time to where like it really sold the fact that both of these guys really wanted that, you know, that sixth spot in the Elimination Chamber. So they made it feel important and it felt like a pretty big deal. And I don't always feel like you always get that in so many, like when they do these gauntlet matches on Raw, and this one actually added a lot of importance.
Yeah. I got to credit whoever scripted this match, agented this match. It was booked brilliantly. Almost everything made sense here. Jeff Hardy's up next, and Jeff Hardy is like the least of everybody in this. By the way, his promo was abysmal. It was so bad. But he had a bit of a competitive match with Drew because Drew had just been through a tough one with AJ. So that's why he was able to fight back, almost won. I love that Drew missed the Claymore and then ended up having to get his knees up on the Swanton and hitting it. That made a lot of sense to me too. And then it's like, okay, Randy Orton's up next. How do you get him out of here? Well, you do the goofy Alexa shit that I'm not usually cool with. Not usually. But for this, he's outside the ring and he's like, what's going on? Ref is counting him. But the ref doesn't make it obvious. We're worried about the sound and the visuals and he gets counted out. How did you feel about that transition and the way that they eliminated Orton?
So first of all, good spot for Jeff Hardy, because I feel like he's the one that if anybody's going to vote somebody least likely to win, I think Jeff Hardy would probably get a lot of those votes there. And the whole thing of how they did the Randy Orton thing, I like this because I didn't even realize the referee was counting. I was distracted. I completely even for like, it's almost like I forgot the rule book, you know, for that, for those couple of moments. So when they counted him out, I was kind of like, oh, okay, all right, he's counted out. That makes sense. He got distracted. Drew was still in the ring. Whatever, now he's gone. So I did like how they did it. I mean, the actual distraction did look goofy because why would Randy Orton be freaking out that Alexa Bliss's face is on the screen? Like, no big deal, you know? But whatever, it ended up working for the situation.
So, yeah, I thought that worked out great. Sheamus comes in, picks the bones, hits the brogue kick. He's got the bragging rights. And beats Drew McIntyre. And Drew had been through, this was his fourth opponent. So right. It makes so much sense. And you're heating up Sheamus. Thought it was a great way to spend an hour of Monday Night Raw. And it was for that last spot. So now Sheamus can come in and pick the bones again.
And pretty, I'm glad pretty solid finish. Drew win because I didn't want Drew to come in last. Like I just didn't want that for the chamber. I wanted him to, you know, be there for a good amount of time. So I'm glad that he didn't win. And I'm glad that they made him that he lost in a respectable way because A, he had already been there for a really long time. And it also puts over Sheamus. And why not give Sheamus a little bit of you know, like you said, bragging rights going into this match. He has, you know, this newfound confidence going into this match. So it gives him something, and now people can be like, well, I wasn't expecting Sheamus to win. Okay, maybe now he has an actual chance. So I like how they built the entire story with this, and it was a good call to have Sheamus win.
Great finish to the show. We do have a few more super chats as we wrap up. Roxas Vanita says, should the women tag titles go to NXT for a while? Yeah, they should. After that match we saw last night, Denise, I would say yeah.
Definitely yes. Yes from like the start of all of this, yes.
Brandon Charles Powell says, in reality, Pierce probably didn't put Braun in the match because he's still kind of ticked about Braun attacking him back in November. Damn, and that's what, that's what Braun mentioned. That's what got him suspended, if you remember. It got Braun suspended for a while.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Guys, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I have broken all kinds of news over there, especially the last week. Just tons of stuff. I mean, quite frankly, if there's exclusive news out there in wrestling, there's a solid chance it came from FightfulSelect.com. And then every Monday, like today, I drop a 15 to 20 minute podcast that's just about exclusive news and all that. And hey, if you're wondering how perhaps a more aggressive person is going to respond to the Lacey Evans pregnancy angle and story, Alex Palowski is doing sour graps tomorrow. He'll spend a good 20 on it. He's doing like 90 minute reviews solo. It's fantastic stuff. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. But Denise, your channel's been blowing up over the last week. I outdrew Matt Cardona.
Yeah, you did. But you know who outdrew you?
Not Luke, but food that Luke sent. Luke didn't actually appear.
But his name was on there, though. That counts, doesn't it?
That sounds like a bait and switch to me.
Well, anyways, no, but seriously, yeah, I've been putting a lot more, been doing a lot more videos up on my channel and a lot more live streams, as you guys know. Seriously, go to the channel. I'm about to hit 35,000 subscribers on YouTube, and that channel is run entirely by yours truly, me. So it really does mean a lot to me whenever you guys go to the channel, check it out, click, subscribe, whatever you guys do. It really means a lot. So youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. And then, man, I'm almost about to hit a bunch of little like points. Okay, so I'm almost going to hit 35K on YouTube, right? I'm almost going to hit 20K on Instagram, and I'm almost going to hit 15K on Twitter. So it's, they're all like at point something that's like almost there. And I'm just like checking every day. And I'm like, no, no, almost there. So yeah. Not,
I told you, once you hit 10K on Twitter, it just, it snowballs. And it's yeah, like but insane.
I feel like I slowed down though. I've noticed now that like my tweets get more traction, but I feel like my follows come slower.
Well, that's because, I mean, more people have discovered you. Like, and there will be some where you just have like crazy, crazy months. Like now I'll get a few hundred people that follow me every month. And then there will be like a couple months where all of a sudden it's like 2,000. But I think you're doing great.
Yeah, I noticed that on mine too. And I was like, well, oh man, I'm doing something wrong. And I was all feeling down about it, but whatever. So yeah, anyways, but all social media and just everywhere, Denise Salcedo. It's the same name everywhere.
Really, guys, check out her video. She put an incredible amount of work.
Tag video.
Yeah. It, go check that out. She put an incredible amount of work on there. I was so impressed with the editing that you did on that video.
Not a lot of people know that I'm pretty skilled at my editing skills, you know?
You are. You're very skilled at it.
A lot of people were asking me who edited your videos. I was like, me. All those internships, they paid off.
They do. They do. It's the experience. But guys, I am back here on Wednesday for the list in your boy. Go check out twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. And how about this? Subscribe to youtube.com/FightfulScraps. Thank you, guys.